This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hello and welcome to Thoughts on the Table, the audio blog on food and food culture. Paolo here again, your host. And today, actually, not on food and food culture. We will be talking about podcasting and podcast music soundtracks with Jeff Devine. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. This is very exciting to be on your podcast.
It's a pleasure to have you, Jeff. So, a little backstory for those who missed maybe the last episode. I had the pleasure to speak with Sarah and Becca from Dietetics After Dark, and they mentioned they have a sound engineer who produces their show. And this engineer, of course, is Jeff from Earworm Radio, we should say, your company. And I wasn't joking when I said, well, I'd like to get him on the show, actually. That's very interesting because I'm an amateur audio editor myself, and I'm very fascinated with this art. And I know a lot of you are, too, because a lot of you are podcasters yourself. So let's get to it, Jeff, right? I'll first ask you, of course, to introduce yourself. Please give a little bit of your story.
Yeah, of course. So I started off as an audio engineer in the music scene. Mm-hmm. I originally wanted to be a kind of recording engineer within the music scene only. I quickly moved over to the film world where I absolutely loved doing post-production for film, for short films, mostly indie projects. And then I found my way into the commercial space, so a little bit more short form, which I really enjoyed the quick turnover of that space and the high energy, the high pace, everything kind of gets done within a day or two. Mm. And then I found my way onto a couple of podcasts and I just absolutely loved it. It's a space where as a post engineer, you have full control over. There's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of really interesting topics and great people. And it's just a space where I just want to be in and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I bet. And you get to work with a lot of people. And I'm very curious to know, because obviously I'm a one-man band, right? I do my recording mm-hmm. and then I do my editing. I do a fair bit of editing and I kind of craft it until I'm satisfied. But it must be entirely different when you work with the customers. They have a precise idea in mind. And are you producing their shows or you're just the editor, post-production technician?
Yeah, I have two shows that I'm helping produce, and one's with my partner, Sarah, for mm-hmm. Dietetics After Dark. But mostly, I'm just editing, mixing, sound designing for clients.
Excellent.
Yes, I can say a couple more I'm on. Maybe I'll shout those ones out for now.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
We Regret to Inform You by the Apostrophe Network and Alone Together by the Apostrophe Network. Those are kind of two of the ones I'm focusing on right now. I've also played a part in the Sick Kids Versus podcast and just a few others, but those are kind of my main ones right now.
Awesome. And you do both the editing, post-production and the soundtrack?
Yes, I'll do the editing. I'll do the sound design and some of them I'll create my own music for certain moments. I'll create my own music for. Sometimes the producer on those shows will have some music in mind that mm-hmm. they'll source from whatever catalog they're sourcing it from.
Right.
And I'll kind of build off of it. So sometimes it'll be a pretty basic music track and I'll kind of build it up if I need to. But yeah, mostly just editing, sound designing, placing the music and then mixing.
Amazing. It's great that we have this world now. I feel that this has exploded in the last, I don't know, 5 years. It's becoming really popular. And there's a lot of very good material out there and a lot of creative work being produced. So yeah, I'd like to know a lot more. Like, for instance, let's focus on the music. Obviously, music in a podcast, from my experience, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it serves several purposes. So it can be the introduction and like a title track to just recognize the podcast from the get-go. It can be an intermission used to maybe join parts together. And in that case, it's like a break. You definitely have all the terms for these things, but I don't. And then the one that I'm most fascinated about is the background music that accompanies voice. And I love how the to create synergy to a point where the results is greater than the sum of two parts, obviously. So yes, what is your take on all of this? Obviously, I'm describing things and waving my hands. What is actually going on here?
When the music and the VO are working in harmony?
Yes.
You're really creating a... It is a hard thing to describe. You're right. what you're really doing is you're creating this synergy between the two in a way that's kind of getting to your subconscious, where the music is enhancing your VO by reaching the subconscious of what your VO is trying to say. You're really approaching, you're getting at the feeling mm-hmm. without explaining the feeling. That's a way to describe
yeah,
it.
I like it.
I'm sure that there's some people who say it way more eloquently than that, but it is a magical thing when they work together.
It is.
Sure.
It is. I find that, you know, music has always a key, and if you find the right music, you may actually work with the key of the spoken words, because spoken words have their own key. So you're very flexible there, but there is some kind of play that happens just on the melody and the key. And then there's the rhythm.
Right.
Spoken words have their own rhythm. And I find that, again, you may be able to catch that rhythm. And that, too, creates a very powerful, very, like you said, deep and almost visceral effect in the listener.
Right, totally. And I think just with the key, like the most basic way you could look at it, too, is just if you use a major key over a positive, you're trying to find that good energy, that uplifting energy, and then a minor key when you're trying to get a little bit more down in your energy. It's even as simple as that, finding those right keys for those moments and then trying to pair up what the VO is trying to say with the right energy and the right tempo is so crucial. Yeah. Just when all of that works in harmony, it really works.
You know what I'm going to try, Jeff? I'm going to say it now and maybe I'll cut it. I'm going to try to put some music under what you just said.
Perfect.
And we'll see how that works. So you're listening, you may now listen to a version of that with music.
Perfect. It's even as simple as that, finding those right keys for those moments and then trying to pair up what the VO is trying to say with the right energy and the right tempo is so crucial. Yeah. Just when all of that works in harmony, it really works. Yep.
Interesting. When you design a soundscape, let's talk about this accompaniment. Is it trial and error, or there's a precise idea to begin with? Like, you know exactly what sound would work here.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. Right. Sometimes you get this really spark where this is really going to work here. But even with that, there's a lot in sound design and music production, there's a lot of experimentation mm-hmm. that needs to be done to find what works. And when it starts to work, it actually, you can feel it click and you can feel that it's flowing. And so I'd say you approach it with a lens of experimentation and curiosity. And I think that's the best way to approach anything in a creative space, in a creative world. And what I love to experiment with a lot of sound design elements on top of the music that really sometimes you want the sound design to be a little dissonant of the music or the VO to create that energy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you want them to work together. And with that stuff, it really is always down to how you experiment with it. And don't be scared to do something that's not in a book anywhere, to just kind of have an idea and just kind of go for it and see if it works or not.
Interesting. Of course, it also depends on the theme. Like with Didacts After Dark, things can get dark. So yeah, I've heard some of your spooky music that creates a sense of, discomfort. And
sorry, with that too, like sometimes it comes down to how you mix it. Like sometimes you want to take out some of that high end to mm-hmm. really dampen the music. And so you can take something that's a little bit maybe too upbeat for it and really kind of dampen it and bring that energy down. if you need to. So it's not just the music, the source material, it's how you approach the mix as well.
Interesting. And you said that you experiment, and then usually when you hit it, you know you hit it.
Right.
It's hard to define beforehand.
Yeah, it's more of an intuition. It's just kind of a, you follow your intuition and then follow your gut. And that's kind of the best you can do.
That's a creative process right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. So for me, I found there are some royalty-free options that I can use with Mention. Yeah, I definitely wish I was more technical there and I could do more post-processing on the music itself because I'm quite limited. Some jazz
right,
of that.
Right.
You're also a guitar player. So do you play mm-hmm. your guitar on top sometimes?
I do sometimes, yeah. I do sometimes. Not often with guitar. I have a piano here too. It's just sometimes the guitar is a little bit, it doesn't really mix well with VO and podcasting mm-hmm. necessarily. Usually I want to explore sounds that are less competitive with the VO.
With the voice, yes.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can find it in guitar, but it's definitely more of a challenge. And if the moment comes that needs guitar, I'm all over it.
I know.
Any
I know.
Opportunity to play.
Yeah, I listen to your music. Yeah, amazing stuff. There is obviously another thing we mentioned about music in podcasts, which is the introduction and then the ending. So is it different? What is different there and how do you approach that?
Yeah, totally. I think it's quite different in that the intro and outro is more of, you're really trying to find a theme or a sonic brand, which is a great term. If you want to look that up, it's a wormhole, at least for me. Mm-hmm. And just to look at sonic logos and you're really trying to find an 10 to 15 second clip of audio, something that really defines the theme of your show.
Right.
And it's easier said than done often. Sometimes the simpler things are the most challenging things to find. And you really have to think about what the energy of your show is, because that is the moment that's going to hook people in and the moment that's going to keep people listening or listening to the next episode. So it's something that's really challenging to find and something really important, in my opinion, to find.
Interesting. So it's not necessarily a catchy tune, like per se, but it defines the brand, and together with the introduction, brands the show to the point of making right. it unique and recognizable.
Yeah, totally. And what you just said there, I think you're trying to make it unique to your podcast, but you're also trying to find that theme, that hook, that jingle that's gonna resonate in your mind like an earworm.
There you go.
Hey.
Yes, that too. Yeah, obviously. Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be nice to hear some examples. Do you think you could are you at liberty to play one of those intros for us?
Yeah, let me send that over to you.
Okay, perfect. We're going to put that in post-production, so you'll hear it you hear it now.
Welcome to Dietetics After Dark, your source for food-related crime, scandal, and fraud.
All right, so let's move on to maybe more sound editing and the actual voice part of the podcast, which is, of course, important too. I think that you need to have good sound. And by good sound, I mean, start off with a good recording, a reasonable recording. This is not necessarily the BBC. Like what I do, I think, is still very amateur. But I think you have to hit a minimum bar with the recording equipment so that it's not distracting and annoying. But mm-hmm. then, there's some editing that engineers do. So how does it work for you? Like you work with different customers that have their own recording equipment, I suppose, or mm-hmm. they sometimes, I guess, you could provide that too. So how does it work?
Yeah, totally. So I will kind of offer guidance if they need for recording. Mm-hmm. And like you said, this isn't the BBC. I don't expect people to have the most expensive microphones or interfaces, but there has to be a certain bar to hit. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, content is king. And the whole point is to make the content clear and upfront. And the cleaner you can get that, the less that production gets in the way of the conversation, because you just don't want, you don't want the listener to be fighting the audio, basically, to listen to the content.
Yeah.
I think that's the bar. And there's this subconscious power of audio, really, at the end of the day. If even if someone can't really tell a major difference between a good sounding podcast and something that's a little bit worse sounding, if it's better sounding, they're just going to be listening longer and listening to the next episode, even if they can't tell a major difference consciously. And with different clients, still at the end of the day, they'll just send me a WAV file. Mm-hmm. It's typically what I ask for. It's just easier to edit with. There's more noise reduction you can do with a WAV file. It's a cleaner file type to edit with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I'll ask them how much content they need edited out. Sometimes they just want to keep it pretty natural. Sometimes they'll need heavier edits done. And that's basically it. I'll put on the intro and outro, and that would be basically it for an interview style podcast. If it's a narrative style podcast, it's a little bit different. Usually we're going off of a script. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky enough with Apostrophe that they'll send me markers for sound effects in, sound effects out, music in, music out. It's typically a general guideline. It doesn't have to be exactly, but those are the cues, which I'm lucky enough to have.
Right. So it is entirely scripted and produced on a complete script, which you follow. So you have the entire transcript of the episode as well. That point.
Yeah, and they'll also work in Pro Tools too. I work in Pro Tools, right. And it just makes it easier because they'll just send me the entire session, mm-hmm. instead of exporting the audio and uploading it. They'll just send over the session, and mm-hmm, I can import it here, which is nice.
Right, so you can jump right in. Excellent. And about the parts that they want removed, I know that it would be difficult for me because when I remove parts in my work, I do edit out a lot of content, mainly, you know, digressions that don't go anywhere in a natural spoken language. We do that. We start mm-hmm. things, then we forget why we started them. It's fun sometimes to keep them. It's natural and it's just fine. And it's still interesting, but sometimes is really going in a direction that is not, is out of topic. Is not very interesting. Is a bit boring, maybe a bit slow. And, you know, I check with my guest and then, we agree mm-hmm. to remove it. And, but I do that. I have full creative control, meaning I remove parts that I can't remove and I keep parts that I can't remove. So it's sometimes dictated by what's feasible. Instead, I suppose if you're working for a customer, they'll give you a more precise directive, and then you know you have to make it feasible.
Yeah, totally. And a lot with the clients, they want to keep it under a certain minute limit. Right. So sometimes that kind of guides how much I should be cutting. If it's 10 minutes over, that means they want quite a bit cut. And most of the time I actually will lean on not cutting because it's easier to cut on the revision than to put something back in on a revision.
Oh yeah.
And it depends on how much trust, what the your relationship is with the client, mm-hmm. how much trust you have in each other. And, you know, if you do this all the time, you really have built up an intuition and a gut feeling of what should be cut and what shouldn't be cut. And I'll bring this back to the theme of your podcast is usually about food. And same thing in the kitchen. You've got a gut instinct about how much seasoning you need. I don't know. I don't know anything much about food. But you've got a gut instinct. And it's the same thing with audio engineering and editing. You've got an instinct about where the conversation needs to change direction or continue.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's not a linear process. It's iterative refinement. I'm going to reveal something that may make you smile. I probably listened to my own episodes at least 10 times.
Yeah.
Sometimes more. But I have to have, 8 hours between them. Like it works for me because that's not my job. And, you know, I do other things in between, obviously. I'm not just waiting to do the editing. Because when I'm listening and I stop, obviously, to make an edit or a correction, I lose part of the overall theme and the overarching story. So I lose track of the meaning of what was being said. So the only way I found to make sure I'm not distorting that and I'm not creating something that ultimately will sound unnatural is to give it some time and then listen to it again, trying to listen as if it was the first time. And then I write down points that need more editing. I don't make the edits. I just note them. And then I find time to the edits and do it again, repeat.
Yeah, no, that's a great process. I mean, you really do need to give your ears a refreshment, like, and just kind of restart your ears and listen to it from the point of view of the guest, I think is what you're trying to
that's
do,
right.
basically. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like when I finish a podcast episode, I'll, especially the narrative sound design one, I'll go on a walk, put it in my earbuds and not think about the edits and just kind of let it wash over you without being, like, you can't be present in the edit. You just have to be present as a guest. And I think it's such a hard thing at times to do, but it's a very important part of the process. So that's good that you're doing that.
I'm not the only one. Yeah. This is for me, extremely interesting because, that's the first time that I compare myself with a professional. So that's awesome.
You are a professional.
Oh, thank you. Oh. I love it. It's amazing. I mean, for me, it's just half of the enjoyment. Half of it, of course, is getting to know the person that I'm speaking with. Podcasting is magic. I don't have to tell you. The ability, especially interviews, are interesting for me. And we didn't talk about that much with Beck and Sarah because their show is not about interviews, but you work with interviews. And I think being able for the host to put the guest at ease and get them to bring out their best in the sense of a part of themselves that they're proud of. Mm-hmm. And often people that are not used to listening to themselves, people that are not getting interviewed every week, they'll cringe at the sound of their voice, which is something that I'm sure you and I are both used to.
No, I do.
You do? Okay, yeah, I don't do a lot of your own audio.
I mean, this is, I don't do a lot of interviews. I work behind the scenes, so
right.
I don't hear my own voice that often.
Right, yes. So you'll cringe too, maybe, when I'll play this back to you. But but yes, there's something I think that we're allowed to do. This is not us. This is a part of us, but it's not the whole thing. And we want it to be a representative thing of what we like. So that's the whole purpose.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it comes across when I'm editing an episode, I can tell if it's a natural conversation or not. And I think being true to the guest and yourself, it does come through. It totally comes through. And editing can only do so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome, Jeff. That's fantastic. I think we are out of time for this episode. This is usually the length that I reach. And thanks so much for speaking with me about this and revealing some of your techniques. And really interesting for me to compare with somebody who loves this medium as much as I do. Yeah. So,
yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And hopefully we stay in touch and we can bounce ideas off each other. And
definitely, absolutely. And yeah, I would like to feature some of your music. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, totally. I'll send some stuff over and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Fantastic.
You can use whatever you want to use.
As long as, you know, you send me the bills.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day. Talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.